Content warning for mentions of self-harm, suicide, and suicidal ideation. I could apply this to transitioning home by compromising with my parents and following their rules.
Making visible progress with my parents has also impacted how I interact with my parents.
Being close to people I actually know felt really refreshing.
Dissatisfaction.
And when the town pass was over, I wasn't disappointed because I got right for a discussion. Sometimes I would see
nobody is satisfied.
I don't want those things to change. I'd rather have that than guilt. Parts of me has stayed the same, even though I know my parents wish those parts would change too. My parents said they would leave my medication and the kitchen knives out when I get home, which makes me question their decisions. They know I've self-harmed in the past, and that my suicide is a reoccurring theme.
I could apply this to transition they want home.
Making visible progress with my parents is also something I
try
to find the right
common
people I know felt really refreshing in real life. My parents said they read it, but I want to make sure that they understand what I mean. I need them to understand what I mean. These are excerpts from the full 8 pages I wrote on February 27th, 2016, in a tent in Alabama with a prison pen and a spiral notebook. I was 16. 2 days later, I would graduate from Elk River Treatment Program after being there for 4 months and 13 days. There's no limit to how long you can stay at Elk River, but the shortest possible time to graduate is 6 weeks. And unless you were court-ordered, you could be picked up by your legal guardian at any time. You had to earn phone calls, so the only means of communicating with anyone outside was through letters the staff were allowed to doctor. In-person visits happened once a month for an hour in the campus's main hall. I was lucky, and I got a visit 3 weeks after I was dropped off. I don't remember it very well, but I do know that I couldn't stop laughing, and I kept reiterating how much fun I was having. How I loved having an ankle monitor, how I loved being watched while I showered, how I loved carrying a 60-pound bag everywhere, and how I loved doing 30 hours of manual labor to earn an hour-long therapy session once a week. The visit was cut short, and I didn't see my parents again until December. I realized after this, to have any real shot of graduating the program, you had to at least try the Kool-Aid. And after a few months, I became a connoisseur of Elk River rhetoric. It was the only way I ever would have gotten out. Phase 1. Introspection. How I ended up in Alabama was actually pretty straightforward. It was due to a decision my parents had made almost a decade earlier to move us to Birmingham, in the West Midlands, in England. If I hadn't gone to treatment at Elk River, I'd probably be making a podcast right now about my experiences as a white immigrant. So you're fucking welcome. My dad lived in Greece for 18 months when he was in middle school. He went to an American school in Athens where he was voted cutest boy, 7th grade. But my dad's experience living in Greece was like a study abroad program. Mine was like being a dog on an 18-hour flight. I had no agency. I had only just become literate. And when we finally got there, chose an 800-year-old house that was haunted by a ghost, I didn't have the words to articulate the overwhelming sadness I felt, nor did I understand why it didn't leave after months that turned into years that turned into more symptoms of my mental illness. As I mentioned before, we lived in the West Midlands. It's an area of the UK that's still being rehabilitated from the Industrial Revolution. A great game to play year-round is to guess if the sky is gray from clouds or gray from smog. Either way, the rain is going to have a pH level downwards of 3. When I was 10, my NHS-appointed therapist attributed my depression to the weather and suggested that I try using an artificial light lamp that simulated natural sunlight to see if it would help. I started waking up at 5 a.m. every day to lie down on the ground next to the lamp. Unfortunately, this did not lobotomize me, but I did stop hating the country I was stuck in around this time. I also had my first instance of suicidal ideation. We had just flown back from Chicago, and I remember standing in my bedroom doorway at 2 a.m. thinking, wow, I really do hate being alive. These thoughts dissipated by the morning, but I still remember that exact feeling because it lingered for a really long time. After a total of 8 years abroad, we moved back to the U.S., and I started taking the antidepressants and antipsychotics I had been too young to be prescribed in the U.K. After a year of living in the U.S., I attempted suicide on September 1st, 2015. I don't want to go too in-depth on it, but I went to a separate program before I went to Elk River in Wisconsin that specialized in dialectical behavioral therapy, but I was kicked out, and I transferred to Elk River on October 16th, 2015. Right off the bat, I need to praise Elk River for being ahead of its time. They had the super contemporary one-size-fits-all approach to psychiatry. Their website's homepage states that their residential teen program is designed specifically for teens struggling with
abandonment and adoption issues, anger management, anxiety, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, autism spectrum disorder, bipolar disorder, depression, divorce and family issues, eating disorders, low self-esteem, obesity, oppositional defiant disorder treatment, post-traumatic stress disorder, prescription drug abuse, reactive attachment disorder, self-harm and cutting, sexual assault, and video game addiction treatment.
Honestly, it's pretty smart from a business perspective. Fearmonger parents whose kids are depressed or smoking weed or playing video games or having online friends and make them pay upwards of $500 a day while their kids chop wood, pull weeds, regravel pathways, all while being watched over by somebody whose only qualification is a bachelor's degree in criminal psychology and whose only therapy technique is gaslighting. I was put on level 3 run risk and level 3 self-harm from the get-go. I had an ankle monitor and had to carry a tether made out of a trash bag 24/7. You also had to be watched when you were showered if you were on any level of self-harm. Of the 19 weeks I spent there, only 2 of them were spent not on any level of self-harm. Before I had my first parent visit, I had tried a few ways to kill myself. I had tried suffocating myself with my army pillow, throwing myself down the stairs, bludgeoning my head with a rock, ingesting bleach, trying to get a black widow spider to bite me, and eating peanut butter candy I found in the trash. Every night for the first few weeks, I would lay awake, regretting not acting on the urge I had to jump out of the car and onto the highway when my parents were driving me there. When all those methods failed, and I started complying, I began to fantasize about how I would kill myself once I returned home. It takes a minimum of 2 weeks to phase up at Elk River, and it took me 6 weeks to earn my first phase band. And I was still harboring a lot of these thoughts when I earned it. But after I did, I stopped planning and started focusing on all the things I didn't want to lose, even though I'd already lost them. Phase 2. Wisdom. Almost every day at Elk River was the same, which made time passing simultaneously quick and excruciating. We'd wake up at an undisclosed time. There were no clocks. But if I had to guess, it was probably around 4 a.m. If we slept on the campgrounds, we'd get dressed, clean up the campsite, and head back to the main hall. If the weather had been inclement that night before, we'd sleep in the hall and wouldn't have to walk back and forth. We would still clear out the hall, though, for PT. Short for physical training, lasted about an hour, and afterwards we would have breakfast. If it was a weekday, we'd either have afternoon or morning school or afternoon or morning work, which involves hauling and sawing wood, yard maintenance, etc. It depended on which campus chore had been assigned to our group that week. Thursdays were pretty much the same, except we had therapy and substance counseling. And on weekends, we'd have no school, extra work, church, and therapy in the form of illustrating our core issues in a courage circle. Our courage circles would help us combat negative behaviors, I think. I don't know. Fuck. And this isn't exclusive to Elk River. Every single teen therapy program just wants you to write down why you're shitty on a piece of paper every single week. And they just never stop not doing that. They're always doing that. And I hope that in the future, paper becomes a resource we no longer use so that people don't have to do this anymore. Because if I have to write down why I'm shitty one more time on another piece of paper, I will rinse and repeat until you graduate. Something else I feel the need to clarify is that some of the staff were awesome and nice and normal, and others were absolute shit. One staff member, who was this waspy mother of three who owned horses, tried to convince me that reverse classism was worse than normal classism. Another staff member was Miss Z, who was hated by pretty much everybody. She'd insult residents to their face, attempting to provoke them, knowing that if they reacted, she could just report them. She'd mock our letters and journal entries to other staff members while we were also present. One time, when she was watching over our group and we were journaling, she brought up this hypothetical situation about a kid whose parents gave him away to their neighbors so they could afford to take their other two kids to Disney World. But it wasn't hypothetical. One of my group members started questioning why she would read and reiterate his journal entries like that, portraying his trauma like some absurdist joke. There were still staff members who were good people, though. Three staff members, Mr. L, Ms. J, and Mr. M, all worked the same days/shifts and actually treated us like we were people, so those days were typically the better days. The substance abuse counselor didn't mince words, but he actually gave a shit, and he was really chill, too. We weren't allowed to talk to other residents unsupervised, so I never really got to know the kids in my group, outside the reason they were there and everything they discussed in group therapy. Some were just kids who smoked weed, and their parents didn't like that. Others were addicted to self-harm. Some were from the other side of the country with wealthy parents who just didn't want to deal with them. There was nobody I could see myself reflected in, though. Everyone seemed to be able to mark the point of their downfall. or had the certainty, like they knew what changes they could make so that they wouldn't end up in another facility. I was complying with the program, but I wasn't healing or making any progress in my mental health. I was just doing what I was told, masking all my emotions, writing letters to my parents, and journal entries to my therapist, just telling them what they wanted to hear. I began waking myself up at night screaming. It was always involuntary, but I'm glad I had an outlet to express myself while I was there. Phase 3. Courage. I used to have a good memory. I used to think I could recount anything from any time in my life. I thought I'd never forget how much everything hurt when I was at my lowest. That I could feel happy just by acknowledging a time when I was better. I didn't dwell on Elk River once I left. I had all my journals in a military bag. I was gonna read them again one day, but not when I got back. All those fucking entries, every letter I wrote, my dirt list, my home safety guide, the song I wrote about Thanksgiving said to Run DMC's It's Tricky. But that voice wasn't mine. Everything I wrote was monitored. Even if it's my words, the early entries are the only ones I wrote for myself. My trauma is still my trauma, but by repeating it back, am I really helping anybody? Nobody I know personally or know listening has ever been through this. It's not a universal experience. It's Paris Hilton, a subreddit, a few TikTok kids who'll never forgive their parents, and me. If I had never gone, I might have been worse off. But did Elk River help me, or was it knowing I could be sent back that helped me? It really sucks being told that you have all the power in situations where you couldn't feel more dependent on somebody else's decision-making. I think that's what fucked me up the most, being told I was choosing how long I stayed at Elk River, because I wasn't compliant from the second I got there. Now I have this void in my mind, and I can't remember one of the worst things that I went through. I got off self-harm and run risk because I stopped being open about how I felt. I was a golden kid right before I left. I remember one advisor asked if I could explain a therapeutic element to a new resident, and I completely forgot what my response was, or even the question right after I did it. All that monitored writing made me really good at bullshitting, and that's still something I'm kind of grateful for. Phase 4. Illumination. Elk River helped my self-esteem. I still wish I had never gone, but it made me hate myself less. But it also made me mean, meaner than I had ever been. It made me stronger physically, but I lost all that physical strength long after I graduated because I stopped working out every day at 5 a.m. I wasn't allowed to use the internet or my phone for the first 2 months after I got back from Elk River. So I watched a lot of Adult Swim and Netflix, a lot of Bob's Burgers, Rick and Morty, and BoJack Horseman. There's an episode of BoJack Horseman where a character, Diane, is working on a book of essays about her childhood trauma, but she just can't write the book in a way that's meaningful to her and effective. All her takes come off as uninteresting and depressing. Because she can't write any of her essays the way she had planned to, she begins to question if all the bad things that happened to her in the past didn't happen for a reason, because writing them wasn't cathartic and didn't heal her. I understand how that feels now. I used to have nightmares about going back to Elk River. I still do sometimes, but they're not as frequent. Apparently, this is common amongst a lot of former residents. I had them at least twice a month for the first few years. These dreams never gave me an answer as to why I was sent back. I was just there because it's where I deserved to be. As I got older, the dreams began to shift. I'd dream I was night staff instead of a resident, or that it was a different place altogether, or that I was happy to be there, and that I ran the entire operation and I profited from the program. I'm kind of relieved I lost all my journals, all my letters, every remnant of the time at Elk River, because now I never have to think about it again. I don't have to write about it or elaborate on my experiences like I thought I was supposed to make it worth it. I don't have to be resentful anymore. But no one was ever holding me to that. I can just acknowledge that it was a shitty thing that happened to me, and that it can't happen again, and it won't happen again. But it still happened. I always hated that the final phase was called illumination. Isn't that just the same as the first phase, introspection, shining a light on your issues? I think it means like illumination, as in your life is now brighter and more hopeful, but that's so corny but earnest. A real one-size-fits-most approach to therapy. I hope everything works out for the kids who are still there. I hope they don't have to be there for as long as I was. I hope one day it gets shut down. I hope one day that there isn't a market out of teens like me.
That's all I really want.